And Chris, if you would please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Appreciate it, sir.
Good morning, Director Lane. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Jack Lane, your executive director. Happy Wednesday. We have a fairly short agenda, but I'll start out with some introductions, presentations, and at least a couple of really important announcements. We've got another celebrity in our midst, and that Sheriff Daniels was just named the Western Sheriff's Association Sheriff of the Year. And just wanted to congratulate you, Sheriff, on that. Quite a lot. And you were nominated, I think, by an Oregon sheriff.
Is that where I came from?
That's where
I came
from. I know this other sheriff that had the inside scoop on that. So, but that's quite an honor.
And thank you, everybody.
So we'll see you as the National Sheriff of the Year here pretty soon, I would
say. No, I'm happy where I'm at.
I'm happy.
All right. Well, no, we're not going to let you leave. You just get
yes.
All right. The next big thing is I'd like to have Don Yenny come up, if you would mind joining me. As most of you know, Don is retiring a week from this Friday. It's his last day here at Arizona Post. And he wore a special tie from the city of Tempe, which has the U of A logo on it. I'm not sure why. But Don, maybe we can step up here.
Absolutely.
Don did tell me he delights in getting the sign of the long face. Jokingly, he just graduated an ALT class. Week before, and we talked about it with the ALT class at the last Arizona leadership program that he did graduate. And I've been a part of all the leadership programs because they teach in the farthest past classroom. He never raised his voice on anything. You know, Don, you've dedicated a large part of your life to law enforcement. I think you went to the U.S. Army after serving in the U.S. Army. You came to Arizona and became a member of the Tempe Police Department and retired from them as a commander in 2013. And you had a short stint of time where you were kind of retired, and then prior to that, you were a contract employee for us for about 4 years, like
4 years, yeah.
Four years, 2009. And that's how you started with us in the leadership program. And then you applied for and were selected and became the training manager in early 2014. And your service has been tremendous. I mean, you've left a lot of legacies in Arizona, and you should be very proud of your accomplishment. And with that, do you remember your presidency term? Okay. It's presented to Don Yenny in humble appreciation of your 33 years of service to the Arizona law enforcement community, especially with your 9-year commitment to the Arizona Peace Officer Standards and Training Board, 2009 to 2018.
Thank you, Jack.
I would just like to say that I'm very envious of where you're going and what you're doing up in Ohio. On a farm with tractors and a lot of deer hunting, and I hear you're remodeling a home and one from the 1800s.
That's right.
So there's a whole world out there. Thank you for your service. Thank you for service to Arizona, to Avpost, to the communities, and God bless you with whatever you do up there in Ohio.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Thank you very much. If I can, I'm just going to say something really brief because I have something prepared during my presentation because I will be back up here. It's honestly been my honor to be able to be of service to the men and women of Arizona law enforcement and all public safety. It really is my honor. And I thank you for the opportunity to work here and to serve for the board and for you and to work with you, Jack. Really good.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
ask that, Director Lane, does he know that much like military service, he can be called into active duty at any time?
We actually are working on that. There's a nice little program through the state called Intermittent Employees where you can reach out, but it's going to be a long drive for him from Ohio, getting off that John Deere tractor and coming all the way out here, but thanks for mentioning that. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll let you go to item C, the consent agenda.
Okay. I assume everyone's had a chance to review the consent agenda, so I'd ask for a motion for approval of the consent agenda and related items to that.
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda and all items approved.
Sorry. I have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion on the consent? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? And the motion carries. Thank you very much. We'll move on to the Executive Director's report. Mr. Lane?
Okay. Concerning the budget, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, that's also included in your consent agenda. You can see the average of CGF revenues for this year. We're right around $434,000 a month, and we had based our budget on $450,000 a month. The good news is that we have enough savings and carry forward that we're able to manage that budget, and we continue to do so. We're still hopeful on the legislative appropriation as well as with the governor's budget that'll help prop up additional monies for our basic training. So we're following that with the legislative issues. Board communications with law enforcement association groups. I think a large, you know, there's actually several people here that attended Thursday. We got to attend the What You Do Holocaust training that was sponsored by the group there from Yavapai County, and they hosted us there at the Arizona Biltmore. It's very nice, and the governor attended our luncheon, and we got some very nice mention by both him and also one of the directors from the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. It was really nice to get that recognition for both support of the program as well as the prosecuting attorneys group with Elizabeth Ortiz got some recognition at that. So that was always nice. And Don does a lot of the coordination work with that, working with AIPAC, making sure that happens. With that, I'll move on to legislative update. Two major issues this is supposedly the last week through Friday that House bills can be heard in the Senate, and Senate bills can be heard in the House. They've crossed over. Friday is the last day, the 23rd, that they're supposed to be heard. They did calendar two bills that we've been watching very closely. One was the post-board bill that crossed over from the Senate. Senate Bill 1498 will be heard this afternoon. I'll be there at 2 p.m. in the House Judiciary and Public Safety Committee. Representative Farnsworth chairs that committee, and he's offering up a new strike everything amendment that does alter the language for our two peer members. If this amendment is accepted and then follows through completely through the process, it still would have to go back to the Senate and have their concurrence. It probably will end up with this language, and I'll read it very quickly. Two certified law enforcement officers who have knowledge and who have knowledge of and experience in representing peace officers in disciplinary cases. One of the certified law enforcement officers must have a rank of officer, and the other must have a rank of deputy. And then one of these two appointed officers must be from a county with a population of less than 500,000 persons. So I would suspect that amendment will be, it's a strike everything, so it takes over the current bill, 1498, and then has a couple of typo languages that they always fix when they get to language in your amendment. So we'll see what happens with that in committee this afternoon. Myself and Mark Perkovich will be at that committee hearing to make sure the represent post that there's any questions for us. We are neutral with that new language. That's the position we're taking. The other bill of interest that we've been following, and I want to thank Scott Stell, PD's legal advisor, for bringing this to our attention because it was one that we did not hit our radar, was Senate Bill 1436. This is a bill that Senator Senator Burgess had run in the Senate. We were hoping it would never make it to the House, but it made it over to the House, and it's being heard today. This bill would really open up all the boards. It looked like almost all the boards in the state that do any type of licensing, and it would open up to convicted felons that have either nonviolent or non-sexual associated offenses, even if they were convicted felons, where they could be applying to our board. We obviously, when that went to our attention going into the House Judiciary Committee, we opposed that bill, said that we needed to be exempted out of that bill. It looked like there were several other organizations like teachers and such that were a little concerned about that issue too. There is an amendment that takes care of that. That's also being introduced today in the committee, in the same committee, where it specifically exempts any law enforcement agency or the Arizona Peace Officer Standards and Training Board from having to comply with that. So very important. I think the Attorney General's office also were giving us a heads up at the same time. So it's, I got to publicly thank Senator Farnsworth. He's been very helpful because both these amendments are through his office and his associate, his analyst, chief analyst, Katie Proctor, has been very great to work with down there. So they've been very helpful with that. The only other legislative update I had, and I mentioned this already to the Sheriff Masher, the chair, I've been called to a meeting with Senator Kavanaugh tomorrow afternoon about 1 o'clock. He's meeting with myself and Ms. Courtney Coolidge from DPS concerning school safety issues and who's going to pay for that. That was what the invite said. I'm not clear yet. I might have an idea now that maybe what it's about just based on a conversation I have with Sheriff Daniels. So I'll report back to the board on what that meeting is and what, you know, can't squeeze blood out of a turnip, so they're not going to get any money from us, so that's not going to be an issue, I think. But anyhow, we'll have that meeting tomorrow afternoon about 1 o'clock, and I believe I'll bring Mr. Perkovich to that meeting, too. It's good for him to get to meet some of those folks down there. So, and with that, I have nothing else, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, nothing on current events.
No, sir, we're good. I think you're pretty much caught up and everything. Mm-hmm. I think the next item agenda will be Mr. Saltz concerning a petition from the Tucson Police Department.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Director. Mr. Saltz, discussion and possible action on a petition from the Tucson Police Department.
Chairman, members of the board, you have before you a petition from Tucson Police Department reference an applicant for a peace officer by the name of Jacob Martinez. This petition is asking that some misconduct that occurred when he was 16 years of age, be considered juvenile indiscretion. It was a little over 10 years ago. The misconduct involved him being the middleman in a marijuana transaction. He picked up the marijuana and delivered it, picked up the money and delivered it back. He states there was no personal gain for this, that he was just doing high school friends a favor, doing them a solid. It only occurred one time, but your rule does state that you can't have been involved in any marijuana transactions and be a peace officer. So that's why the petition is requesting that it be considered juvenile indiscretion. This type of petition, post staff doesn't make recommendations, but this type of petition with the amount of time that went by and it being a one-time transaction is often granted. The assistant chief and a commander, it appears, from Tucson PD are here to address the board if you like. Any questions for me before I step aside?
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Thank you for hearing our petition today on Mr. Martinez. Mr. Martinez was hired by our department and is currently in the academy. He started the academy in January. By all accounts, at this point, I have Captain Joe Puglia here, who's our training division commander. Mr. Martinez has been an exemplary recruit. He's seen at this time as an informal leader in the class. As Mr. Stoltz mentioned, this was a one-time occurrence that was self-identified by him during the background investigation. He was not arrested for this. This was not something that came out of a records search. He self-admitted to this during our interviews with him. It was a one-time, like I said, it was a one-time case. And by all other standards for certification within Arizona, he does meet those. He does meet all other standards. So this is a one-time incident that we're asking for a waiver of that. Specific rule, and as Mr. Stoltz mentioned, application of the juvenile indiscretion practice. Oh, absolutely. I'm Assistant Chief Eric Kazmierczak. I'm Assistant Chief with the Tucson Police Department.
Thank you, sir. Any questions?
Yes. Chief, I'm going to support this for all the reasons you've given. My only concern is the timing. This individual was hired and however it was determined that it was automatic disqualifier. The concern is he's sitting in a classroom, that could a seat that could have been given to somebody else, and if the board doesn't support it, it's quite an embarrassment to him. Can you explain how that happened?
I can refer to our HR commander, but to my understanding, this was I don't necessarily have an explanation on how we hired him prior to. I don't know.
I believe I could probably respond to that if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman.
Certainly, Chief Rodko.
It's not uncommon with all the background investigation. They're not supposed to send Arizona Post the appointment until such time the background investigation is totally complete. Then it's at that point that we'll come and do the audit. Now, obviously, that doesn't always happen overnight. A lot of times it's the person is already in the academy. It's an issue we're trying to correct so we get a little better timelines on that. But it's really difficult because agencies sometimes, even if they appointed 2 weeks prior to academy because of scheduling issues, we probably can't get an auditor, one of our compliance specialists, down there before the academy starts. And I don't know in this particular case if that's what happened. I believe...
I can't say that running a regional academy for years. I've been involved with training for years at the Tucson Police Department. This happens probably once or twice a year, every year, with either our agency or with some other agency in the state that's serviced by Stiletsi, where someone comes down from Arizona Post and does an audit of a background investigation that revealed a particular incident that is concerning and results in a petition for the board. So this, from my experience, isn't something that's necessarily uncommon, and I don't know if there's a procedural or a timing issue that.
No, the chief's correct. I mean, it's a combination of the two. Tucson's very good about doing their appointments in a timely fashion, but then again, we have six compliance people that are covering the entire state and eight academies, and they're doing the backgrounds and cases. So a lot of times it's them getting scheduled to go down and do the audits, and many times recruits are already in the academy, and sometimes we'll find a small issue like this juvenile indiscretion. They're not all small issues. I didn't mean to make it that way, but it is juvenile indiscretion where a background investigator maybe didn't pick up on the nuance that we do when we do the audit.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments, or ask for a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I need to recuse myself.
Yes, sir. It has to be reflected. And having no questions, comments. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
May I have a motion?
Make a motion to accept the waiver for Tucson Police Department. Recruit Jacob Martinez.
All right. I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And the motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
You betcha. All right. We'll be moving on to the next report, starting out with the Arizona Department of Corrections. Director Ryan.
Mr. Chairman, members, since the last post-board meeting on February 21st through March 14th, the following has occurred. The Correctional Officer Training Academy, a total of 66 out of 75 cadets graduated. Four cadets resigned, one recycled in, six recycled out, and none were dismissed. Currently, four classes are in session with 111 cadets attending. In terms of vacancies and attrition, of the 6,655 officer positions authorized, 922 are currently vacant, which is 13.85%. Our current attrition rate in FY 2018 is 14.33%. One cadet has participated in the waiver program in FY 18. In terms of county and tribal detention IGAs, in FY 18 there have been 12 graduates from Cochise and Santa Cruz counties. And at our CODA facility, the Arizona Probation, Parole, and Corrections Association held a two-day conference at CODA using the auditorium, and ADC staff and outside instructors attended. And the Canine Academy continues its training at CODA.
Thank you, sir. Any questions, comments for the director?
Thank you very much.
We'll move on to in-service training reports. Mr. Yenny.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, since our last presentation, the training section has been involved with or has directly supported the following in-service trainings or in-person trainings. three What You Do Matters classes to include the one that the executive director talked about last week at the Arizona Biltmore, a physical fitness class at Phoenix Regional Police Academy, an advanced collision class, a high-risk vehicle stop at Phoenix Police Department, week two, and the subsequent graduation of ALP class number 23. And I have to, I guess, boast, if you will, or let you know that with that graduation, that we have graduated a total of 1,564 executive leaders through that program since its inception. Children's Justice League, Preventing Child Abuse in Arizona, is an entity that offers statewide training specifically dealing with child abuse in Arizona. To explain where we are on this, I have to let you know that when we changed a couple years ago, the way that Arizona Post grants post-credit training, as opposed to Arizona Post getting all the requests coming in and us having the ability to try to vet it all out, we have then put that on to the agencies to them make a determination whether it meets post criteria, and agencies will grant that credit. Due to the fact that this is a statewide training, we went ahead and took a look at their training. They submitted it to us. So we have approved their training that's good for the entire state. So none of the agencies or localities throughout the entire state that these people will go to have to burden those agencies to take a look at their curriculum. They got 27 different modules that they have to offer, and I believe that all of them are for free, and they're varying lengths, anywhere from 2 hours to 4 hours. Painstakingly, that process has gone through, and we have made all of those approvals that will be good as long as they don't change their curriculum. So it's actually for the betterment of all of our users. We had a statewide training coordinators meeting at Arizona Game and Fish, and I have to openly thank Arizona Game and Fish for opening their facility. This was so well attended. We had over 100 training coordinators in the state in attendance. We actually gave them a training component as well. It was really good to get the feel for what their needs were as we move forward in our programs to let them know where we are, how we can assist as we continue to move forward. And that was a really good meeting. We had two subject matter expert coordinators meetings, one in firearms and another one in driving. And again, the reason that we have these on a continual basis, our goal is to always make sure that all of our content that we teach is the most current and contemporary. And we rely really heavily on our subject matter experts to give us that information that we have based upon their knowledge and expertise. In the works is we weren't able to get to two more of them that will be upcoming in the upcoming months, and that's law and legal and patrol and observations, to either update their lesson plans or review test questions that are associated with that. And I have to thank openly John Stevens, who is seated behind me. Now, he did two Narcan user classes, one in Bisbee and the Maricopa County Attorney's Office. This, as you are aware, this opioid crisis is an ongoing issue that we are constantly dealing with. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I am glad that we at Arizona Post and Arizona law enforcement were ahead of this curve before it got to be a national crisis. We had identified it, put lesson plans together, and were teaching it well before the governor's edict came out that we had it to do that. Now, along with that, I will tell you that as this has gained momentum over the years, the Arizona Department of Health Services, we are the recipient of a grant that goes over 4 years, $35,000 a year for a total of $140,000 for us to be able to make sure that all EMS in the state receive the training that they need. Part of this larger grant picture, that's only our portion of it, is the University of Arizona. University of Arizona, we are now working in concert with them as well. While our goal is to make sure that all that training gets done, they are going to be the entity that compiles all the statistical information for all of that so they can report that back to DHS. They can go all the way up then to the governor's office. So that's a really good working relationship, and this is an ongoing process that we hope to stay ahead of. It's my understanding that we have three defensive tactics instructor schools either in the works. One of them's already scheduled, and that's down in Tucson. We're working on dates for Phoenix Police Department and one at MCO facility. On our digital media side, are appraised, the Arizona Intimate Partner Risk Assessment Instrument System. We've talked about that before in front of you. I've got to let you know that I'm sure that you're aware that there's been a rule change to state statute that in addition to the Form 4, if someone gets arrested for domestic violence issues, this form can be attached to the Form 4 to make a determination by the judge whether or not the person will be released. We have worked very diligently on this program, and I believe next week that it's going to be released in digital media format, the training that everyone needs so that they can fill this out properly, how that works. This has been, I give a lot of credit to Dan and Dale and Digital Media Unit for the hours upon hours that they have spent putting this together. It is going to be a really, really, really good program. It is in 13 separate segments. What that means for all of you in Arizona law enforcement, that the average length of each segment is 11 minutes and 30 seconds. So it's easy to be watched in segments as opposed to watching it for a couple hours at a time for the information for your folks. There is a live training coming up in Sierra Vista. I think my date is incorrect on this, but there is live training on this as well. The production of the ACJC Arizona Youth Survey has been completed and has been released to the ACJC team. They are very happy with that program, and it's also on their website. Dan and Dale of our digital media unit spent most of January and February recording interviews for behavioral health intervention strategies and law enforcement. And while it'll be released after I leave here, I'm telling you, the amount of work that's gone into that is phenomenal, and it's going to be an excellent training for all of Arizona law enforcement. Working with Arizona HIDA, and a production has been completed and post-production has been done on Arizona HIDA opioid treatment, a video series. They are very happy with the work that's been done on that, and they have that as well. We are also in the initial stages of working with the Department of Liquor for a covert underage buyer program. There has been filming, and I have to acknowledge Scottsdale PD as well, because we use one of your canine officers and their dog, because as I had mentioned before, we now have produced and shot for Narcan users for canine, should they happen to have an encounter as well, how to deal effectively with their animal, should they do that as well. All of our share files are uploaded that agencies can use for their training purposes. And that's all I have for the training portion. And if I could now, I just want to say a couple parting words here.
Please.
And I've got to give you a disclaimer right off the bat. Please understand there's a difference between emotion and passion. It truly is an honor to be able to end my career here before the Arizona Post Board. To have had the ability to serve the men and women in all 163 law enforcement agencies, to work with a great staff here at Arizona Post, to work, foster, and develop relationships with our multiple partners, from feds to fire service, other agencies and entities throughout the United States, and to have the opportunity to influence and to implement new training and curriculum is something that I deeply cherish and am very proud to have accomplished. I walk away from this job in my 37th year of public service. I've witnessed many changes in my career, to include, with the exception of Director Ryan, the entire composition of this board. To those personnel and agencies who've embraced the challenges of change, I thank them. For those that have resisted and continue to resist the philosophy of current and contemporary change, they need to remember or be reminded what it means to be a public servant. I thank the board for their unwavering support of the direction we have gone in the area of training, and I want to acknowledge and thank the executive director for allowing me the autonomy to do my job. This truly has been the best job I've ever had. As I leave this podium and this position, I want to share with you the thought process I entered this assignment with. I wanted the ability to have a positive influence on those around me, to develop others to their full potential, and to leave Arizona Post better than when I arrived here. I hope that I've succeeded. And with that, I'll be glad to answer any questions you may have.
Questions?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Yoni, I just want to thank you and your team. The recruitment video that you put together for the AYS was really top-notch, and we look forward to using that over the next couple of years to help get more schools and students involved in that. So just want to extend my thanks to your team for doing that.
Absolutely. They do phenomenal work.
Thank you. You know, I'd also like to say, Don, again, you have made a difference, and you've made a big difference. I've told you before, I don't know how you've managed and organized all the in-service training across the state. Just your report today shows the amount of dedication, tenacity, and work product that you've done for the state, for the police officers, for the communities. It's been outstanding. I think it's going to be very difficult to have someone come in and do what you've been doing, and you're going to be missed, but I'm very happy that you're going to be out and retired and doing what you want to do, and I hope you do get a chance to come back and visit, say hello. And with that, I'd just like to stand and give you an applause for everything you've done.
Thank you
very, very much.
Thank you.
God bless. All right. With that, I think if there's no other training reports, we're going to get into our final action cases. Mr. Saltz, we're moving on to 15-136.
Chairman, members of the board, before you have a consent agreement. Mr. Perez is formerly with Tohono O'odham Nation Police Department. The allegations against him were sex on duty, and sending and receiving sexually explicit texts and picture messages with a woman on a departmental phone. I don't want you to misread the bullet points there. He was truthful with his internal affairs. But he wasn't totally cooperative. He just wouldn't answer certain questions. But he never lied. So he then thereafter he resigned. The consent agreement that he's entered into with the admissions that I just mentioned is for a 1-year suspension. The 1-year suspension will be from the date of resignation, August 29th, 2015, through August 29th, 2016. This type of settlement is consistent with other past board actions. Any questions?
Having no questions, may I ask for a motion, please?
I move to accept the consent agreement for 1-year suspension of peace officer certification from August 29, 2015, to August 29, 2016.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. Mr. Salt, thank you, sir. Mr. Perkovich, good morning. We're moving on to 17-158.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Mark Perkovich, your compliance manager here at AZ Post. This first case, on December 20th, 2017, the board voted to initiate proceedings. This was for the denial of peace officer certification for Mr. Anthony Levy. Mr. Levy was formerly a new hire employee with the Tucson Police Department. The notice of denial that was issued by the board was mailed by both regular and certified mail on December the 21st, 2017. That certified mail receipt was signed for on December the 26th, and to date, Mr. Levy has not requested a hearing. In summary, it was back on October 7th, 2017, that Mr. Levy was arrested by the Tucson Police Department for a DUI. This was with a BAC over 0.08. This was following a single vehicle collision in Tucson, Arizona, in which Mr. Levy was the driver and sole occupant of the vehicle. Mr. Levy's collision occurred about 3:30 in the morning. His breath test indicated a result of 0.143 and 0.142, respectively. Mr. Levy had been appointed by the Tucson Police Department and was actually due to start the academy at Celesi the following Monday, October 9th, 2017. It was noted that Mr. Levy was cooperative with investigating officers, and it also acknowledged his level of intoxication. Mr. Levy was terminated by the Tucson Police Department for failing to meet the agency's minimum standards prior to the start of the academy. Research by AZ Post staff has determined in other past similar fact-based circumstances, board action has resulted in a no action with agency discretion. The most recent particular case was in 2016, where a recruit who was also off duty was found to have a similar BAC, and he had fallen asleep in the drive-thru of a fast food restaurant. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions on this case.
Yes, sir. I have a question, sir. So, giving us a past history, they didn't involve an accident.
Correct. The board has often considered aggravating circumstances as well as mitigating BAC, collisions that were involved, occupants of the vehicle, are just a few that you've entertained.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments?
Mr. Chairman, may I excuse myself?
Yes, sir. Definitely noted. And if there are no other questions, comments, may I have a motion, please?
I'll make a motion. I think this is the right one. I make a motion we accept the findings of fact and conclusions of law for the sanction of denial of the peace officer status.
That would be correct. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Second. I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Perkovich, we're going to move on to the next, 17142.
Yes, once again, on December 20th, 2017, the board voted to initiate proceedings against peace officer certification of Ms. Julie Smith. Officer Smith was formerly with the Phoenix Police Department. This notice of complaint was mailed again by both regular and certified U.S. mail. The notice sent by regular mail has not been returned to AZ Post, and it was noted on January 9th, 2018, Officer Smith signed for the certified notice. And to date, Officer Smith, now currently married, last name of Maori, has not requested a hearing. In summary, it was on or about April 28th, 2017, that Detective Julie Smith developed a personal relationship. This was a subject identified as a Mr. Maori. And about a month later, the two were married. When our relationship with Mr. Maori first began, Detective Smith knew him to be a convicted felon, a prohibited possessor of a firearm, and an illegal drug user who was in violation of his probation and had also had his driver's license revoked. During their courtship and marriage, Detective Smith allowed Mr. Maori access to firearms, potentially hers included, and allowed him to operate her personal vehicle. On May the 31st, 2017, Detective Smith had also used her position while as an on-duty police officer wearing a firearm, displaying a badge and a PD shirt to bypass security and accompany Mr. Maori to a meeting with his probation officer. This was in a restricted area of the building where firearms were expressly prohibited. The probation officer assigned to Mr. Mowry's case felt as though Officer Smith had worn her shirt, badge, and gun to possibly intimidate her. Her actions had also caused the probation office to redefine how they deal with uniformed police officers who make entry through the public access door. Detective Smith Mowry resigned from the Phoenix Police Department effective August 19, 2017. Research by AZ Post staff has determined there are no other past similar fact-based circumstances to assist the board. I'd be more than happy to answer the questions.
Having no questions, may I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept the finding of facts, conclusion of law, and fully sanction of revocation.
Second. I have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion on this matter? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion does carry. Mr. Perkovich, 16167.
Mr. Chair, I have to recuse myself.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Again, on December 20th, 2017, the board voted to initiate proceedings. This was against the peace officer certification of Mr. Anthony LeClaire, who was formerly with the Scottsdale Police Department. The notice of complaint, again, was mailed by regular and certified U.S. mail. This was on January 2nd, 2018. It was noted that Officer LeClaire did, in fact, sign for the certified letter on January 11th, 2018, and to date has not requested a hearing regarding this matter. In summary, back on April 13th, 2016, Officer LeClaire and his girlfriend, at the time, who was also noted to be a Scottsdale police officer, were sitting in his car while they were engaged in a verbal argument. When his girlfriend tried to get out of the car, Officer LeClaire grabbed her by the arm. This incident occurred in the parking lot where both officers were attending training. The training center was noted to be located in the city of Tempe. Then again on September 12, 2016, Officer LeClaire was involved in another domestic dispute with the same girlfriend. On this occasion, the dispute resulted in both parties receiving injuries. Officer LeClaire received red marks to his arms and chest, while the female girlfriend involved, sustained a cut to her upper lip and possibly damage to her teeth. During the investigation of both incidents, it was noted Officer LeClaire was dishonest when he made conflicting statements to investigators with Scottsdale PD, criminal investigators with Tempe Police Department, and the polygraph examiner. On October 24, 2016, Officer LeClaire was terminated from the Scottsdale Police Department. Research by AZ Post staff has determined in other past similar fact-based circumstances, the board action has resulted in revocation. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
May I have a motion, please?
Mr. Chairman, I move to accept the findings of fact and conclusions of law and impose a sanction or revocation.
Thank you.
I have a motion and a second. Any other discussion on the motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. Mr. Perkovich, moving on to the next 16153.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Again, December 20th, 2017, the board voted to initiate proceedings against peace officer certification for Adam Sinetra. Officer Sinetra was formerly with the Scottsdale Police Department. Formal notice of complaint was again sent by regular and certified U.S. mail. This was on December the 22nd, 2017. This was sent to Officer Sinetra's last known address. It was noted that Officer Sinetra did in fact sign that he received the certified mailing on December 26, 2017, and to date has not requested a hearing. In summary, back on August the 4th, 2016, Officer Sinetra, while on duty with the Scottsdale Police Department, was observed by a supervisor who developed reasonable suspicion that Officer Sinetra was in fact under the influence of dangerous drugs. Upon doing so, Officer Sinetra was transported to the Southwest Laboratory in Phoenix for a drug test. It was confirmed by the medical review officer that Officer Sinetra did in fact have amphetamine, morphine, and alprazolam, which I believe is generic for Xanax, in his system, none of which he could provide prescriptions for. On August 18, 2016, Officer Sinetra was terminated from the Scottsdale Police Department. Research by AZ Post staff has determined cases which involve similar fact-based circumstances have resulted in revocation of certification. I'd be happy to answer your question.
Noted. Questions, comments? May I have a motion, please?
I'll make a motion to accept the findings of fact and conclusions of law and impose a sanction of revocation.
Okay. Second. I have a motion and a second. Discussion on the motion. Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And we're moving on to the next. Mr. Perkovich, 17157.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board. December 20th, 2017, the board voted to initiate proceedings. This was for denial of peace officer certification on Mr. Daniel LaBarbera, who was formerly with the Arizona Department of Public Safety. On December 27th, 2017, Mr. LaBarbera signed for the formal complaint, which was sent to his address of record by certified mail. To date, Mr. LaBarbera has not requested a hearing regarding this matter. In summary, it was on or about December 17th of 2015 that Mr. LaBarbera had applied with the Mesa Police Department, and it was discovered through the background check with Arizona Department of Public Safety that he willfully provided false information to the background investigator with Mesa PD. This was regarding his direct involvement in a beer theft that had occurred back in September 24th of 2004, which resulted in his physical arrest. Then again, between June 25th and August 23rd of 2017, applicant LaBarbera willfully provided false information to a background investigator with the Mesa Police Department, when he once again gave false information regarding his involvement in this beer theft that occurred back in September of 2004. And then lastly, on or about July 31st, 2017, applicant LaBarbera willfully provided false information to a background investigator with the Arizona Department of Public Safety. This was again in relation to the Gilbert Police Department report, which identified and memorialized his direct involvement in a theft. On October 27th, 2017, recruit LaBarbera was terminated from the Arizona Department of Public Safety. Research by AZ Post staff has determined in other past similar fact-based circumstances, the board action has resulted in the denial of peace officer certification. And I'd be happy to answer any questions this morning.
No questions. May I have a motion, please?
I'll make a motion to accept the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and impose a sanction of denial of peace officer certification.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Berkovich.
Thank you.
We'll be moving on to the new cases. Mrs. Haas, 17150. Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Kathy Haas, one of your compliance specialists. Deputy Carlos Soto, formerly with Santa Cruz County Sheriff's Office, was involved in several incidents alleging domestic violence between May 1st of 2017 and August 20th of 2017 with Ms. R., who was a communications officer with the same sheriff's office. Ms. R. had submitted a memo to her supervisor disclosing her relationship with Deputy Soto and the concern she had about his behavior, in particular, a couple incidents when he came to her work site. Ms. R., Soto, and several other county employees, both civilian and sworn, were interviewed as having been part of or witness to some of the encounters between the two of them. There were numerous conflicting stories about what was seen or heard during the alleged incidents, to include Ms. R.'s and Soto's accounts of those incidents. Santa Cruz County investigators went to Soto's apartment and did not find any damage to anything in the apartment that was alleged by Ms. R. Criminal investigators from Pima County Sheriff's Office conducted a criminal investigation, and after doing numerous interviews and viewing video footage, they were unable to establish probable cause for charging Deputy Soto. Deputy Soto resigned prior to completion of the investigation. Any questions?
Having no questions, may I have a motion, please? Yeah. So what's the difference if your recommendation is no action agency discretion?
Basically, because there's no RF, because we looked at RF as far as if he were to go to another agency. There's no disputing that this guy's got issues with relationships, but so much of this was a he said, she said, both on their interviews and also other people's interviews. She to the IA investigators at Santa Cruz County would make one statement about something that had happened and then turn around and say at the end of her shift she went back to his house and they spent the day in bed. And then she would tell different stories to the Pima County Sheriff's investigators. So there was no real credible statements from our victim.
So I think obviously it's a physical part of this that has probably been some of us concerned in terms of feeling comfortable with an agency discretion, but the RF would not allow another agency a heads up to polygraph about specific physical altercations.
It could, but there was nothing really that I could specifically come up with as what questions needed to be answered.
Okay, that's what I'm asking.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions? Having none, may there be a motion, please.
I make a motion, no action.
Second. Motion and a second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hall. Moving on to 18035. Mr. Jacobs, good morning, sir.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chair, members of the board, this case involves a former Bullhead City Police Department officer who on January 8th, 2018, was tasked with driving the prisoner transport van from Bullhead City to Kingman, to the county complex, to deliver two people that had been detained, an adult male and a juvenile female. The policy of the Bullhead City Police Department during such transportations is that the officer is not supposed to leave the vehicle unattended. En route, an off-duty Bullhead City captain observed the transport van pass him on the highway and pull into a convenience store gas station. He contacted the department, asked them to make contact with the officer to see why he was there. The officer reported to the on-duty supervisor that he had only stopped to stretch his legs, and when asked specifically had he gone into the convenience store, he denied doing so. The next day, the department had officers go to the convenience store, pull the security video, and it was discovered that the officer had pulled up, parked next to the pumps, which are probably a good 20 yard away from the convenience store, walk across the parking lot into the store, pulled a couple of the aisles, picked up a couple of items, went back to the back cooler, grabbed a large drink, and then went back out into to the van and departed. When asked to submit to an interview and questioning regarding this matter, the officer chose not to cooperate with the investigation and resigned. Are there any questions?
No questions. May I have a motion, please?
Make a motion to initiate proceedings.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to initiate. Any other discussion? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Jacobs, thank you. We're moving on to the next 18-015.
This involves a former Mojave County Sheriff's deputy who on July 31st, 2017, was responding to an incident. This deputy is relatively new to the department, still on probation. I think he became disoriented of where he was supposed to go. He was told he was going on the wrong direction. He was traveling on I-40 in the area of a construction zone where they're installing a new overpass. He crossed the median and ended up entering the construction area on a lane that shouldn't have been in and collided with a bridge abutment that was being installed. When he was interviewed, he said that he had made a U-turn, got into the travel lane, was doing about 50 or 60 miles an hour, wearing a seatbelt, and that he realized that lights were approaching him really fast, that he said his initial thought was that it was a semi-truck, and it caused him to take evasive action going into the construction zone. However, the vehicle is equipped with a GPS system. It's also equipped with a black box to give indication whether the seatbelt was being worn or not. The seatbelt was not being worn, and the GPS and tracks and evidence at the scene gave an indication that he executed that turn across the median at a high rate of speed. It was traveling about 80 miles an hour. Did not travel in the travel lane, but immediately entered the construction zone where he had the accident. He was given a probationary release. Are there any questions?
No questions. May I have a motion, please?
Make a motion to initiate proceedings.
Second. Motion and a second. Discussion on the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to the next case, 17162. Ms. Waite, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Chairman, members of the board, I'm Lori Waite, one of your compliance specialists. This case is on Joseph McCarthy. He's formerly with the Winslow Police Department. In November of last year, I conducted a new hire audit on Mr. McCarthy for the police department in Winslow. He had previously been an officer with Holbrook Police Department. I discovered some information in his background wherein he disclosed that in 2012, before he became an officer with Holbrook Police Department, he was working at the City of Holbrook Pool, and he was asked to resign his position as an assistant pool manager after the parents of a 16-year-old female lifeguard made a complaint against him with the city when they discovered that McCarthy and their daughter were exchanging sexually explicit texts. At the time, he would have been 21, 22 years of age. During pre-test questioning for his polygraph examination at Winslow, McCarthy disclosed that he was 22 years old at the time of this conduct, and he was sending and receiving sexually explicit texts with a 16-year-old female lifeguard who worked at the pool where he did. However, during his background interview with the background investigator, he changed his story and stated that he had just sent some dumb jokes during a conversation that did not go the right way. When confronted with the information that he had previously disclosed to the polygraph examiner, he denied making those statements. However, those were captured on video. Winslow concluded that McCarthy had admitted to sexting the 16-year-old female during his polygraph pre-examination. However, he denied this fact to the background and internal affairs investigator. He also disclosed that in October of 2013, shortly before he went to work at Holbrook, approximately 45 days before he was appointed. He was working for O'Reilly Auto Parts up in Holbrook, and he was driving a company vehicle, and he had a collision. He collided with an unattended parked car. He disclosed to the polygraph examiner that he didn't report this collision. However, in his background interview with the background investigator, he changed his story and said that he delayed reporting the collision by 2 weeks. There was some inconsistencies in the background report, so I asked Winslow Police Department to check with Holbrook to see what kind of information they might have, since he had originally worked for them. And they discovered that in his pre-question polygraph interview for Holbrook, he denied reporting that hit-and-run collision because he was afraid he was going to get fired. He had been involved in another collision 2 months prior with the same company and had gotten in trouble. So on this second collision, he didn't want to report it. They also questioned him about his discrepancies in the sexting incident with the 16-year-old, and he continued to maintain that the texts were not sexually explicit. However, when they checked with the Human Resources Department, with Holbrook, with the city pool, the information was confirmed. It was a sexting conversation that went on for 2 weeks. He was maintained by the agency up until February 9th of this year, and they have since terminated his probation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
No questions. May I have a motion?
Make a recommendation to initiate proceedings.
Second. Motion and a second. Discussion on the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Waite. Moving on with the agenda to call to the public. Anyone with comments? 3 to 5 minutes. Anyone interested? Seeing none, we'll move along. Mr. Lane, is there any future agenda items?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Probably in the, not next month, but the May board meeting, we'll have Marie Dreyer report on an update on the job task analysis consultant. We're moving along with that, and I'd like to have her give an update in a couple of months because we'll have a lot more information then.
Okay, thank you very much. And that concludes our agenda, and we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
I can't meet you.
Yeah, it's not quite happening.